Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Hoosier Huddle Podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with us will be TJ Inman to talk Indiana's trip to Maryland. The Hoosiers are losers of two straight, lost a heartbreaker in overtime to Michigan, went up to Michigan State, lost by a score. It really should have been 10-9. Indiana let Michigan State score to get the ball back instead of them running out the clock. So 17-9 up at Michigan State last week. Just a tough pill to swallow. So their overall record is 3-4. Maryland sits at 3-4 as well. Loses a three straight and four out of their last five games, coming off of losses to Ohio State 62-14, to Northwestern 37-21, and at Wisconsin 38-13. So Indiana is through their toughest part of the schedule, and we are on to Maryland, a swing game, a winnable game. TJ, how are you, first of all? And then second of all, Indiana's through their part of the schedule on this back end that we've talked so much about, and we'll touch on that first.
I'm doing well. Yeah, as always, thrilled to be talking football. Season's really flying by. And we are to the part of the schedule now where, you know, the game article I wrote earlier this week titled No Margin for Error. Because if Indiana is to progress as a program, which, is the hope to keep moving forward every year, if they are to do that, to me, that would mean getting to 7 wins, getting your first winning season in quite a while. To me, that would be progress. And I don't think any, rational person could argue that. Would there be some disappointment that you didn't get, one of those games against the Michigan schools? Yeah, absolutely. There's disappointment there, but that doesn't mean there can't be progress this season. And to me, that means getting to 7 wins, and doing that pretty much requires you to win 4 of these next 5 games, and you're probably not going to get Wisconsin. Another one that Indiana has to play next week. So Maryland, while not a quote-unquote must-win, I do feel like it is just about as close as you can get to one without being labeled as such. And then you've got Illinois, Rutgers, Purdue. Rutgers and Purdue, I think, are both improved over a season ago. No question about that. But still very winnable. And Illinois, I think Illinois is the worst team in the Big Ten. So that's one, while on the road, you would expect to win that one. So Saturday, it sets up to be, Indiana's favored by, I think the line right now was 4.5. So it's one that Vegas sees as Indiana probably – 5.5 points better with like a point given to Maryland for home field advantage. So it's going to be a very interesting game. I do think that there are some things Indiana could definitely take advantage of with, and some opportunities that have not been there these past few weeks for the offense.
Yeah, and Maryland's defense is giving up 36-point-something points per game. We've seen them. They gave up 37 points to Northwestern, who doesn't really score a lot. They gave up 38 to Wisconsin. Well, Wisconsin's a top five team. Their offense they're not an explosive offense, other than Jonathan Taylor, who's having a tremendous freshman year. We'll talk about him next week. You know, they beat Minnesota up at Minnesota, which was a nice win for them. But Minnesota's come crashing back down to earth. They got blown out by UCF, and then of course they beat Texas at Texas, and Maryland down to their third string quarterback in Max Bortenschlager, and they're beat up. But this is, you know, Indiana's coming off playing some really good defenses in the first half of the season. Ohio State was really good. Penn State's really good. Michigan and Michigan State are both really good. So, you know, all this panic about the offense, while some of it can be legitimate, let's see, before we all go crazy, let's see what IU's offense can do against an inferior defense than what they've been playing lately. Now, injuries along the offensive line are going to be playing a big part. We'll see if Coy Cronk can go. He was banged up last week. Simon Stepniak couldn't finish the game. We'll see what happens there. Delroy Baker came out for a little bit. So we'll see. And Indiana, if guys are banged up, we'll have some decisions to make along that offensive line with who plays, who redshirts, and all of that stuff. I know you have Caleb Jones. He was traveling with the team earlier in the year, stayed home with Michigan State, which leads me to believe that they would redshirt him. But at some point, you need to put five guys out there, and you might not have five guys. So if he could play, he might play. So we'll see what they do regarding his redshirt. But, you know, Maryland's defense is – they're not great. They might not even be good. And, you know, Indiana should be able to break through to the end zone a couple of times, put up enough points to where their defense can keep Max Bortenschlager and Ty Johnson, DJ Moore in check. You know, as good as this Maryland offense is on paper, they didn't score a whole lot at Wisconsin. They only put 21 up on Northwestern at home, and they only scored 14 at Ohio State. You know, we'll see that, you know, they have playmakers at wide receiver and running back, but Bortenschlager's under 50% with his, you know, completion percentage. And we'll see. This is a team that Indiana, where IU's program is right now, it should win. They're 5-point road favorites, according to people in Vegas. Every expert thing that I've read has IU winning this game. This is a game that IU should win, and they need to come in with that mentality. And because we've seen it, this program is at the point where they need to beat the teams that they can beat. And this is a swing game. Mm-hmm. We pointed this out preseason, TJ. This is a swing game, as you said earlier, between getting over that hump and having a winning record, or finishing 6-6, going to, you know, whatever, you know, the Detroit Bowl, and finishing 6-6 or 7-6, where you could now, if you win this game, you have a lot of momentum going there. You need at least two wins to get bowl eligible. You feel a little bit better about yourselves coming into Wisconsin, and you give yourself a little bit more of a margin for error.
Yeah. The interesting thing with Maryland is that they do have a couple of stars on offense. I mean, DJ Moore is a really, really good wide receiver. If he were in a better pass attack, I think it's very, very possible that he'd be considered, you know, one of the top wideouts in the nation. But, you know, just the system that he's playing in, the quarterback play that he has, it's hard for him to be considered as such. But he's a really good playmaker, very explosive, very good in the red zone as well. He has 7 touchdown catches on the year. I do think that their secondary receiving threats are nothing to be scared of. I mean, Tavon Jacobs is probably the best of the bunch, but again, I don't think that anyone outside of DJ Moore is going to really worry the IU defense. And then Ty Johnson, he's one of the best running backs in the Big Ten for sure. Has not had quite the season this year that maybe some would have exchanged for them when they lost their starting quarterback, Tyrell Pigram, against Texas. And then they you know, immediately went to Kaysom Hill, who is considered the future for them. He was, you know, he looked good, finished that game as they came out on top in Austin. And you're never sure what an, you know, opening week game like that means, you know, in Texas as right now is a losing record. So I don't know what that meant necessarily, but I watched that game and it was impressive. It was very impressive offensively for them. But then Kaysom Hill gets hurt and they get blasted by 2 weeks later by Central Florida in the game he got hurt in. Now Central Florida is one of the best, you know, group of five teams in the country. So that's not embarrassing, but it was a little bit of a you know, a foreboding of things to come without those first two guys. Because what you have now with Bortenschlager, the running threat from the quarterback is gone, and I do think it's a downgrade of a passer as well. Bortenschlager is only averaging, I mean, he's averaging under 6 yards a pass attempt that still is under 50%, which is, you know, that's not good for your offense if you're throwing the ball short like that and still struggling to be efficient. So that tells you Indiana, their pass defense has been really, really good this season. Now, they have not played the best of passing attacks. That's 100% fair to point out. But still, they've taken care of the passing attacks that they've gone up against, and I think they should be able to do that against Maryland. And what that does is it allows you to focus on that running game, and it's kept Ty Johnson and especially Lorenzo Harrison, who has had a disappointing season for sure. He's under 4 yards a carry. It's kept those two from having the types of years that they expected to have, because the running threat from the quarterback is gone, and opponents are not worried about their passing attack outside of DJ Moore's playmaking ability. It's more him without the ball, or him with the ball in his hands, that's dangerous than the quarterback throwing it deep to him. You got to tackle him when he gets it and prevent him from breaking a tackle and getting into space. So the game plan for me is going to be do what you have to. If that's shadow DJ Moore with a second receiver or a second defender, that's what you do. But you make somebody besides DJ Moore beat you in the passing game, and then focus on taking away that rushing attack. And when you can, you force Maryland, much like against Michigan State and against Michigan, forcing this offense into third and long scenarios is a recipe for success, because they will not be able to consistently work their way down the field if you're forcing them into third and longs, and also keeping them from busting any big plays, because I really don't think Maryland can methodically work their way down the field against IU's defense very often. It might happen once or twice, but I don't think it'll happen on a routine basis. So that's a first key for me, is preventing the big plays from Moore and Johnson. Both of them are very capable of hitting home runs, so keeping them from doing so is a big key on Saturday for Indiana to come out on top. Offensively, I think Maryland has the weakest defense in the Big Ten East, and I think it's the I'm not sure between them and Illinois who has a weaker defense, but I'd say probably Illinois does. So Maryland is down there in the bottom two or three in the conference in terms of defense. Indiana's offense has to be able to establish some big plays. They've got to take some chances to throw deep. I think a big problem right now is that they are, to me, they're kind of playing scared on offense. So the play calling is conservative to the point of incredibly frustrating to fans, and I'm sure to the players as well, because it seems like the offensive coaching staff is so worried about making a mistake and putting the defense into a bad spot, they are not taking any risks down the field. And I think that takes away from a big strength of this team, which is Simi Cobbs and then Taysier Mack making big plays as wideouts. That has not been a part of the offense the past couple weeks, and I really think that has to come back on Saturday. They've got to take some shots deep, if nothing else, to open up the box so you can run the ball more effectively. And I think if you do that, you'll be able to hit some big plays, and then maybe that frees things up for that running game, and it makes you a little bit more effective running the ball, both with Ramsey and for Ellison. And then, you know, when they get down into the red zone, they have got to find a way to produce better in the red zone. They have to finish drives in the red zone. If they're going to win 4 out of 5 games, the red zone offense has to be light years better than what it has been the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I agree on all of that. And, you know, the red zone offense last week, you score a touchdown there, that game's probably over. Field goals kept them in the game, I don't mind kicking field goals in that game. It's just you left the door open. If you have a chance to make it a 2-score game with six some odd minutes left, you do that.
Let me ask you a quick question on that. I've been thinking, and I don't know for sure. I think I know the answer on this, but I think it's an interesting one to ponder. So Indiana ahead 6-3, given how the defense had played up to that point, do you think it would have been an acceptable strategy to go for it on 4th down instead of kick that field goal to go up 9-3, to go for it on 4th down? If you make it, you score a touchdown. And it's a 2-possession game, the game's probably over. If you don't make it, Michigan State has to go, 98 yards to try and get a field goal to tie it or, to go ahead, which they still would. Even if you kick that field goal, a touchdown still puts them ahead. So do you think that that's something that that was considered? Do you think it's something that you would do given time to question what was actually done?
Yeah, that was something going through my head, especially on the way home, was do you go, should you have gone for it on 4th down there? I think it would have been acceptable either way. I see why they kicked the field goal. You know, your defense is playing well. Force them to score a touchdown to beat you. But I like taking a shot there. It shows that you're being aggressive. You have some trust in your offense. And I don't know what the 4th down play call would be. Hopefully it wasn't a run up the middle again. But if you do a play action fake, now I do understand that I believe at that time a couple of the starting linemen were out with injuries. So I don't know if that affected play call.
They were.
Where you couldn't protect Ramsey and you just field goal and just get it over with. Bottom line is a touchdown there seals the game. And it really, Michigan State gets a stop. They get a lot of momentum. They do have to go 97, 98 yards for a touchdown. But they have the wind at their backs, and a field goal ties it. And who knows what happens in overtime. I probably would have gone for it. I don't mind kicking a field goal there. Your defense has to make a play. And we'll talk about this. We have a big article coming out tomorrow on the referees and things like that. IU had them stopped, and then there was a miscommunication on defense. They got 16 of the 19 yards back. They got a 1st down on 4th down, and the rest is history. But, you have a little bit more margin for error starting from the 3 than you do when they start at the 25. I probably would have gone for it, but I'm not upset with the call for the field goal.
No, I'm not either. And I do think, you mentioned it shows you trust your offense. I mean, going for it would have showed you trust your offense, but to me, the play calling suggests they don't right now. They don't trust the offense right now.
No, they don't. I think another thing, TJ, you had a chance for a 1st down, too. You had to get to the 1 to get a 1st down. And if you do that, if you get a 1st down, then you can start bleeding the clock a little bit. And, Maybe then you do four straight runs up the middle. If you get in, great. If you don't, you're running the clock down and you kick a field goal and they have to go down in 2 minutes instead of 6 minutes. But I don't think they trust, you know, it's kind of like reminds me of Kevin Wilson after Lego threw the pick against Wake Forest in the end zone. All of a sudden, nobody wanted to throw the ball in the red zone anymore. And that's what you kind of see with Indiana, you know, outside of that Michigan play. But drive in the first half when they got their first field goal, they ran two quarterback draws and then threw it to, I think it was Tacey or Mack or Luke Timian in the corner of the end zone. That play had no shot. You know, it would have taken an outstanding, ridiculous catch by Luke Timian to haul it in. But they didn't even give themselves a chance to at least pick up a first down, chew some clock up, maybe expand the play calling a little bit, and wear down that defense. So, you know, against Maryland, their defense isn't great. And you said it before, but they are third in the conference in turnover margin. They've forced, you know, they've picked the ball off eight times, which is tied for third. They forced four fumbles. They don't turn the ball over on offense only seven times. So they're plus five. Indiana is going to have to take care of the ball. Darnell Savage is a very good player, but you know, one of the guys I talked about in our Know Your Opponent is Jermaine Carter Jr. He has 2.5 sacks this year. All of them came in one game. You know, this seems like a Maryland team who's, if Indiana could get up, score first, you know, score the first two times, whether it be a touchdown and a field goal or two touchdowns, I think you could put Maryland out of their misery. They just seem like a team that's ready to throw in the towel. But who knows? You know, I haven't watched all Maryland teams, but just watching from the last few games, the UCF game as well, just their big players are not producing. Hopefully they don't break out against Indiana, but this is a team where maybe they see the writing on the wall. If they don't win this, they're definitely not going to a bowl game, and they're already going to be hard-pressed to go to a bowl game anyway. Their remaining schedule, Indiana at Rutgers, Michigan at home, at Michigan State, and Penn State at home. So you're looking, best case scenario, probably five wins. Maybe you knock off Michigan at home to get the six. So, you know, you're probably going to get their best shot early, but if Indiana could score early, rely on that defense, get a lead, you know, that to me is something that's missing. And it's something that a lot of fans have pointed out in the breakthrough process, is that conservative, like, let's just hope we can make a play at the end and make it. Whereas, you know, let's grab a lead, score some tack on points, and rely on the strength of this team, which is a defense that's a top 30 defense in the country. And you know, just go out there and do what you're supposed to do. And it's beat a team like Maryland.
Yep. Yeah, I think I have, I mean, it has taken a little bit of time, but, you know, earlier in this season, you know, a light just kind of flipped in my head, and I now completely trust, like, the IU defense. It has, like I said, it's a transition period because it was so long where that has not, watching games now, I have 100% confidence in defense. That doesn't mean that they're going to shut every opponent out. Nobody's going to ever score on them. Of course, it doesn't mean that, but it means that, you know, I'm surprised when a drive is successful against them. So for me, that trust in the defense should allow you to have your offense play a little bit more freely. And I'm hoping to see that on Saturday. You know, we should have Ian Thomas back out there. He was a game-time decision against Michigan State and did not play.
He didn't look good in warm-ups, and they told him to stop mid-warm-ups. We were down on the sideline, and the coaches, after maybe 15 minutes of warming up, going through drills, they, you know, just said shut it down, and hopefully he's back for next week, because he's that guy who could take a crossing pattern and really free up everybody else on that offense for passes.
Yes. Yeah, I think he is a big part of this, because they don't have they don't have a replacement for him. I mean, I think Peyton Hendershot could develop into that, and I think that they see a lot of Ian Thomas capabilities in the recruit that they picked up this past week, T.J. Ivey, tight end recruit from Chicago that Indiana will pick up. That's a big commitment because he fills potentially fills the role that Ian Thomas will be vacating. And it's a big hole in the offense when he's not there. So I'm hoping that he's back. I'm hoping that they give their receivers a chance to really impact this game, give Mack a chance, give Simi Cobbs a chance. I'm pleased to see Jayshon Harris getting a little bit more work as a receiver, get him the ball some.
He was wild.
Oh, yeah,
on that
was
Ramsey. That was a walk-in touchdown if that ball's on target.
Yeah, for all the complaints about play calling, that was a play call that had been a wide-open touchdown that was just missed. If the throw is better there, like you said, it's a walk-in touchdown, and we might be having a different conversation after that game. But, that's football, and that's any sport. And that's what it would be so frustrating about coaching is that you set that play up for who knows how long, and it works out perfectly until the throw is made. But I'm pleased to see Jayshon Harris getting out there making plays. We've seen Wop Fillier, or at least have the chance to make plays. We've seen Wop Fillier getting increased reps as we thought he would. So give these receivers a chance to make a play and have an impact on the game. And then I'd like to see Morgan Ellison be relied upon more to pound the Maryland defense. This is not Michigan State. It's not Michigan. It's not Ohio State. It's not Penn State. This is kind of that, I think, probably the most comparable opponent Indiana's played would be Virginia. And that would be really the only one that's kind of been in between, a top 20 and, where you're really looking at a comparable talent level based on recruiting rankings. Now, I would say that Indiana's talent level is right there with Michigan State. There is, from a talent perspective, I will say for the rest of the season, there is no difference between the two sides in terms of on-field talent. Indiana is a bit more beat up, had some guys out that I think could have made a big difference. And then IU just, we can say the refs, and that's a factor. But bottom line, Indiana, there are just a couple of plays that just didn't get made.
You know, and you said this before the Michigan game, Indiana has to be 10 to 14 points better than their opponents. And, that's – you score a touchdown there, or you score a touchdown on the first drive, it's a whole different game. The plays are there to be made in spite of the awful officiating. And I know that's probably what Tom Allen is telling his team. Indiana has gotten – shafted by a lot of calls over a lot of years, but right now they're still a play or two away from making plays that would win the game. A touchdown there, a touchdown here, a completion, a first down, not having a miscommunication on third and 19, that sort of thing, not sacking John O'Korn on a third and 19 and letting him throw up a prayer that gets caught, things like that. So it's not totally on the referees why they're losing, but Indiana's a play or two away in spite of awful officiating. And we'll get into that tomorrow, but it's encouraging. They just, you got to make the plays that you can make and control what you can control. And we'll see. I really feel confident about this game on Saturday. Every 5-point favorites going in, a lot of these experts are picking IU to win It's a game, a swing game for the rest of the season. If you win this, I think you win the final three of the year as well. You know, Maryland's not as good as they – probably not as bad as they looked against Ohio State. And then you set up, you know, we'll see what Rutgers brings. We'll see what Wisconsin brings. We'll see – Illinois is terrible. And we'll see what, you know, what the Bucky game comes down to. You know, Purdue went on the road, lost to Rutgers. That offense didn't look great. They only put up 12 points at Rutgers. So we'll see. This is why you can't jump to conclusions so early in the season on Big Ten teams, which a lot of IU fans did, you know, saying that, Purdue's past Indiana. Maryland's past Indiana. You know, how awesome did that Illinois win over Western Kentucky look? And then we found out that Western Kentucky is terrible. They're 5-2, but they're terrible. This is not the Western Kentucky that Jeff Brohm was coaching last year or the last couple of years. But anyway, TJ, let's get your prediction for the game and then we can get out of here.
Yeah. You know, I'm confident in the defense. I'd be lying if I said I felt confident in the offense. While I fully understand that a lot of the offensive struggles can be attributed to playing really top-notch defenses, I do think that there is something to be said for I do think that some of the concerns around this offense are legitimate. I do worry that the play calling is so conservative. I do worry about the red zone struggles that we've seen for a couple of years now. I mean, this is not a new trend here.
We saw even when IU's offense is really good in 2013, you saw them settle for field goals when they should have been scoring touchdowns. And it was
right.
You know, nobody cared because they were putting up 52 points. But if you go back to that Minnesota game that year, they got down big early, and it was because they settled two or three field goals in the first half when they should have probably scored touchdowns. So it's not a new thing over the last couple of years. This has been brewing for, you know, since Wilson took over, and now, you know, college football thing. You know, maybe why don't people want to throw in the red zone? Why are they running it up the middle for three times? You know, things like that. So hopefully they get that fixed.
I do think that those concerns are legitimate and they need answered. And I think that we will see a better offense on Saturday. One, because I think Ramsey's going to get more comfortable. Two, I just think the quality of defense is going to be much different than what he's seen in his, you know, previous two starts. And, you know, we saw him have success against a similar talent level of defense in Virginia. So I'm going to go with Indiana winning this one 31-20. I think that Maryland will hang around. I don't expect a blowout, but I expect Indiana to be comfortably kind of in control of this game. DJ Moore will make a couple of plays. Ty Johnson will inevitably break off a run. There'll be a busted play of some type and he'll break off a nice run. But I think the IU defense will largely be in control of Maryland's offense, and IU's offense will do a pretty good job. At least a good enough job to kind of assuage some of the concern heading into the Wisconsin game. So I'll go Indiana 31, Maryland 20. And then I think that getting this win, if Indiana can do so, in somewhat comfortable fashion, I think will make all of us feel like things are truly on the right track and will leave a much better taste in our mouth than what we've had the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with you on that. I think IU is going to win. Just personnel, I think IU is in better shape. Maryland being down to their third-string quarterback, really not having a passing game. The IU defense is better than the Maryland offense. And IU's offense should be able to put up some points against the Maryland defense. As long as they take care of the ball, maybe Indiana forces a few takeaways. gets their second in. It's hard to believe Indiana only has one interception on the year, but they do. Get a few takeaways.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Indiana 27, Maryland 14. It's an improvement on offense. I don't have total faith in this offense just yet. Plus, it depends if Quay Cronk plays, how well this offense could play and establish the run. But, yeah, IU needs to establish the pass. I wouldn't be surprised to see Richard Lego make a cameo appearance in this. You know, Tom Allen's answer after the game kind of led you to believe that they are actually reevaluating things, and maybe they go back to that two-quarterback system where you start Ramsey. If the defense starts coming up and playing eight or nine in the box, you bring in Lego to stretch that defense, loosen it up. Anyway, I think 27-14 Indiana, as you said, IU should be in control. They are better on special teams. They are better on defense. And I think that the matchup on offense, Indiana is better than Maryland's defense, while Indiana's defense is better than Maryland's offense. So, anyway, TJ, thanks for joining us. We'll have all the reaction and coverage from the game this Saturday at Maryland at HoosierHuddle.com, as well as on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. We'll have our article on the referees tomorrow, going over some of the plays that occurred, what we thought of them, and some other reasons why we think, you know, for as big of a entity that the Big Ten is, why it's embarrassing that they have a on-field product like Big Ten officials. So, TJ, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, yeah. Everybody have a good week, and thanks for listening.
All right, that does it for this week's podcast. As I mentioned earlier, come back to HoosierHuddle.com for all your coverage. Subscribe to us on iTunes or on Blog Talk. Either way, you can find us. Have a great Wednesday evening. And remember, the game kicks off at 3:30 on Big Ten Network, Indiana at Maryland. And enjoy the rest of the week.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Across California, school food professionals are using their skills to develop recipes that incorporate fresher ingredients and more scratch cooking. Learn how they're cooking up change at schoolfoodpros.org. Grant provided by California Community College's Chancellor's Office.